You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. We're looking for stories of pioneering women at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Join the conversation, won't you? Whether they are pioneering women in politics, pioneering women in science, we're going to be talking about one pioneering woman in aviation, perhaps a little bit later on the program, or if you're thinking about Mary Dickinson, I can't get her out of my mind, there in Iowa dealing with the loss of her home in the wake of extraordinary floods in the Midwest. Pioneering women, what's your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE? Two big stories out of the Middle East this morning. The Israeli government and the militant group Hamas have confirmed that a ceasefire has been brokered in hopes to end a series of rocket attacks that have killed seven Israelis and more than 400 Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, to say nothing of a possible peace deal between Gaza and Israel, which has been tense since Hamas took over. The deal, which was negotiated over several months in Egypt, is facing skepticism from both sides, but it's expected to proceed. Also this morning, Israel has called for peace talks with Lebanon. Joining us to explain the significance of these two stories is the BBC's Jeremy Bowen in London, the Middle East editor for the BBC. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
How do you assess first the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas and then this call by Israel for peace talks with Lebanon?
On the ceasefire, first of all, the ceasefire, it will give both sides some calm and some time, which they need. It's also, I think, a sign of realism on both sides. First of all, the Israelis realizing that their other option, which was essentially to invade Gaza and to keep it under their direct control for quite a long time, probably wouldn't have stopped the rockets, which have been hitting Israel, which is the thing that they've been very concerned about. And on the Hamas side, there's realism there insofar as they recognized, I think, that they need to show people in Gaza that they can make life better than it's been. And one way of doing that is to try and take off some of the pressure, the military pressure from Israel, and also the state of siege which Israel has imposed there. There are now, of Gaza's 1.4 million population, a million people there rely on United Nations food aid.
Hamas did win the election, which is why they're in control in Gaza. Is this a sign that Israel, on some level, may be willing to accept a Hamas-controlled territory on their southern border?
No, I think they hate the fact that Hamas is there, but I think that they are accepting Hamas, at least tacitly, as a fact of life in the Middle East, which was something that they were reluctant to do. This negotiation wasn't direct. It was via the auspices of the Egyptians. They shuttled between the two sides. But the fact is, it is a tacit recognition, of course.
Right. Well, and it's certainly in the Egyptians' interest because of so many refugees moving into Egypt since Hamas took over because of all the instability that you referred to just a moment ago. Let's move to the north. What do you make of this call for peace talks with Lebanon by Israel this morning?
Well, it's interesting insofar as Prime Minister Olmert has said that he'll discuss a disputed piece of territory on the border, which is called Sheba Farms, which the Israelis up to now have always said is actually, yes, they say it's occupied Arab territory, but it's actually Syrian, not Lebanese. The Lebanese say it's their territory. So that's one thing. Let's not forget that there's a right of veto in the Lebanese cabinet for Hezbollah, the group which Israel regards as a terrorist organization. It's also a political movement in Lebanon.
Well, that's recent. I mean, they realigned the constitution, and based on this agreement, Hezbollah has a veto. This could be the first test of that, right?
Well, in a way, but, you know, Israel has already, a week or two ago, suggested talks with Lebanon, and Lebanon said no to that. Israel is quite keen to have bilateral talks with countries. What it's never been very keen on is talking collectively to some of the Arab countries that are concerned with this. The Lebanese might say that there's an Arab peace plan on the table at the moment. You know, however, it's interesting. It will be interesting to see how the Lebanese respond to this and whether they think that it's something that they can run with. I suspect that because of Prime Minister Olmert's political weakness, among many other things, they might not be that interested.
And Jeremy, what do you make of Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's visit to Lebanon in the past week?
Well, Condoleezza Rice has been one of the backers of Fouad Senoura, who's the Lebanese prime minister, who's pro-Western. I think that they are trying to support, the Americans and the West are trying to support Senoura and his people. But what's the last month or 6 weeks in Lebanon has shown is that the people who have strengthened their position there are Hezbollah and their, by extension, their backers in Iran.
Well, certainly that is what the next Israeli president is going to inherit in Israel. You mentioned a moment ago the weak sort of waning hours of the Olmert prime ministership there in Israel. How long is this going to go on in Israel, and what's likely to be the sort of successor moment in Israel, and when are we likely to see that?
There are a couple of different options at the moment. It's a question. One of the main major questions is whether Prime Minister Olmert's coalition partner, the leader of the Labour Party, Ehud Barak, whether he decides to force elections. Now, it's getting quite difficult for him not to force elections, which he can do. But the problem is that if there's an election, he'll probably lose it, because consistently ahead in the polls is the other part, the opposition party, Likud, and its leader, Benjamin Netanyahu. Barak really wants to be the next prime minister, and he feels that for him, his ideal solution might be to try to engineer a situation where Kadima, who are the majority party in the current coalition, this Prime Minister Olmert's party, that they get in another prime minister without having an election. And the person being talked about is the foreign minister, Zippy Livni. Now, Zippy Livni isn't all that experienced, and Barak is hoping that he will look strong and tough and experienced and responsible next to her. So when an election does come, and it'll be, I would imagine, sometime towards the end of this year, beginning of next year, most likely at the moment, then he will have improved his position and will be able to put up a better fight than the polls suggest he will against Mr. Netanyahu.
Well, Jeremy Bowen, Middle East editor from the BBC, thank you very much for joining us. The three takeaway names to remember there, Livni, Netanyahu, and Ehud Barak, as Israel thinks about elections sometime in the next 6 months. Now we have headlines from Femi. Okay.
Hello there. 21 minutes to the hour. Senate investigation.